Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison, we're talking about John the Baptist right now, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back, report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you meet us here in this place. And we give you praise, knowing that you are good and mighty and awesome. You meet us here on Mother's Day. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Well, I have been married 25 wonderful years. I don't even see my bride. Where is she? She's downstairs doing stuff. But on Tuesday, 25 years. And in that 25 years, I have garnered some wisdom. And so, men, children, I'm going to enlighten you with what I've learned after 25 years, what not to buy your wife on Mother's Day. Don't buy anything that plugs in. It will be seen as work or utilitarian. I got some of this off the internet as well. Don't buy anything, any clothing that involves sizes. You will be wrong. You will get the chances are 1 in 7,000 that you will get her size right, and your wife will be offended the other 6,999 times. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a 6-month membership to a gym as a suggestion that she is slowing down. Don't buy jewelry. The jewelry she wants, you can't afford. The jewelry you can't afford, she doesn't want. Don't spend too much. She'll think, "You really think we can afford that?" If you don't spend enough, she'll just think you're cheap. And this is from me. Avoid the surprise. Generally, what you're planning is not what she's wanting. It's an issue of reality. The reality she wants is not the reality that you're bringing. So often, the reality that comes on Mother's Day is the reality that I bring. Title of the message today is Ready for Reality. We are looking at the message of the Master. We're looking at the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going through some of the high points in the book of Matthew. And we're going to find out that Jesus is bringing a reality different than the one that many of us are waiting for. He is bringing a message of the kingdom of heaven. And so many of us already have an idea of what heaven should be. And we already have an idea of what the Messiah should be. And so often the heaven that he's bringing is different than the one that we're waiting for. So our question today for you is, are you ready for reality? Is the kingdom of heaven enough for you? Or are you looking for something else? For many, if we don't get what we're looking for, we're just going to go someplace else until we can find it. Does that make sense? The challenging truth for many of us is what we're waiting for is not coming. The title of today's message is Ready for Reality. Sorry, that was a little heavy. Especially on Mother's Day. But reality can be disappointing. Let's reread what I just said, reread for you. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." And what you can understand from reading this text is that John the Baptist was looking for something else. He was looking for something different. He is under arrest. He is under arrest for boldly proclaiming the message of the kingdom of heaven, for boldly proclaiming the arrival of the Messiah. And he's really arrested because he was bringing it to King Herod and his honey, Herodias, who happened to be his brother's wife. And John the Baptist has the boldness to go to the king and says, "We don't do that here. And the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he's going to let you know about that." We read about that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, his winnowing fork. He's talking about Jesus coming, and he's going to clean things up. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John's disciples come to Jesus and say, "Are you the one? Or should we expect somebody else?" Because there was expectations of the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years. Famous prophecy of the Messiah from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, from 600 years earlier: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." And Jesus says to those that are questioning him, from John the Baptist, from prison, from being sold out for the Lord, he says, "Tell them what you see. The sick, the blind, the lame, the lepers, they're all healed. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor." And they say, "But what about the rest? Where's the vengeance? Where's the judgment? We're looking for more." See, John the Baptist figured Jesus was going to be doing something different. And many of us have expectations of Jesus that he does not fulfill. Question is are you ready for reality? Because Jesus says, "Blessed is the man who does not stumble on account of me." He talks about the wording in that in the Greek is somebody who starts off on a journey, and then as he sees what's going on, he begins to stumble. That those who would come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and then say, "Oh, this is what this is about." They struggle with reality. They struggle with the truth of the kingdom, and they turn away. I hope that's not you this morning. I hope as Jesus comes to you that you can wrap your arms around him and around all that he is and say, "Hallelujah, Lord." But for some, it can be a struggle. Can I get a witness on that? All right. I know. These are the words of the Lord. Not much of the gospel is peaches and cream. Amen? If it was peaches and cream, they would not have put Jesus on a cross to make a way for you. All right, let's just keep going. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And Jesus says, change is on the way. In fact, that change is what you're all here to see. Answers, reality. This is what you're waiting for, he says to this crowd that is gathered around him. This is what you go out into the wilderness to see. He said, this is a message that you've been anticipating for 500 years. He references the prophet Malachi, who quotes of the messenger who would come and prepare the way for the Messiah. The messenger who would come and prepare the way for change. And Jesus says, change is on the way. Change is coming. And that's why you guys are out here in this desert. I mean, you didn't come out here to see some guy that's blown around by the wind. And you didn't come out here to see some fancy bauble that a rich man puts up on his wall to impress you. He said, you came today seeking reality. You came today seeking a message of the kingdom that would transform your life, giving you something that you can embrace and something that you can grab onto. You came here today looking for somebody who would speak the message of God, and John is that man. He has brought the message of the kingdom. He points the way to the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, if you would follow his direction, you will move into that kingdom and you will move beyond him. And you're thinking, wait a minute. How do I get to move beyond John the Baptist? Anybody ever wonder that? Anybody? Like, no. Oh, Joe has. Okay, me and Joe. Where's JoJo? JoJo, right behind Joe. Look at that. JoJo's bought a car, new car, and she is getting it set up. And her mechanic, her friend, is doing all this work for free. New motor mounts, rack and pinion, master cylinder. Something broke. Danny, go! Danny's gone. No, it's not. Scott, you're going to be kicked out of there, buddy. That's bad. I don't think so. Rack and pinion, fuel pump, distributor, motor mounts, all that stuff. And he is hooking you up, right, JoJo? But, check this out. As soon as she sits in that car, she's going to leave that mechanic behind. Right? She's going to be driving, and he's going to be working on the next car. Can I get a witness on that? All right? John the Baptist is pointing the way to the kingdom of heaven. And as soon as you take his direction and move into the kingdom, you are going to move beyond where he is at and leave him in your rearview mirror. Does that make sense? He's pointing to the kingdom. He's not in the kingdom. He's going to be killed before the kingdom comes. We'll see him later. Amen? All right, I got to fix this. I'm going to need you to move, Miss Lisa. Glory, hallelujah. They kicked the. All All right. Your parents are not allowed to sit there. All right. Praise the Lord. Move to verse 12, would you? We're going to see how tough a day it's been. See what a tough day it's been?
Amen.
Thank you very much. All right. All right. So, John the Baptist points you to heaven, and as soon as you move in there, you're going to leave him behind. Amen? All right. Kingdom is moving ahead. We're going to read verses 12 through 19. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is proved right by her deeds. And he says that the kingdom of God is advancing, and in fact he says that the kingdom of God is coming right through here today. And violent men have been trying to break in. Violent men have been trying to shape it into something that it is not. But the kingdom of God is not something that you change. The kingdom of God is something that you step into. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus says, the kingdom comes to you and you treat it like kids playing games. And the games that he's talking about, and the songs that he's talking about, a song that is played in a wedding, and a song that is played in a funeral. And those are like opposites. And he says, you have both opportunities, and you can't choose which one you want. And he compares himself to John the Baptist. And he said, John the Baptist brought a message of repentance. And I bring a message of restoration and reconciliation. We are like opposites. They are both messages of the kingdom. But you can't make your mind up what you're looking for. And when it comes, you're always looking for something else. See, it's an issue of reality. When Christ brings the kingdom to you, can you embrace it as it is? You're thinking, well, to me, heaven is you fill in the blank. And we're surrounded by people who are filling in the blank. And reality comes and they turn a different way. That make sense? You know what we're talking about? All right. Verses 20 through 24. The third point is going to be much lighter. Okay? Everybody say okay? Try lighten it up at the end and give you guys something to skip home to. Jesus began to denounce. Now, I want to give you the weight of this because I don't know that I ever want to hear denounce and Jesus in my name in the same sentence. That's not good. Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed. Most of his ministry had been performed in these towns, but they did not repent. That means they didn't accept. They didn't change. They said, we got something else better going on. Can you feel me on that? Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which was his home base, will you be lifted to the heavens? No. You'll go down to Hades. Make it a little bit clearer for her. No, you will go down to hell. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. That's a little heavy. Amen? Jesus is describing the price for the rejection of the message of the gospel. See, the kingdom message requires a kingdom response. You can step in or you can walk away. And these cities were chosen to walk away. He is talking about a wide-scale rejection of the message of the kingdom and the message of the Messiah. He denounces these people. Greek word is onedizo, means reproach, indignation, or insult. Reproach, indignation. I mean, how would you like, Pastor Scott, for an angel to come and say, Jesus was indignant with your music this morning? Pastor Bob, the Lord didn't think much of that message. He was repulsed. He was insulted by it. These are three leading Jewish cities in Galilee. And he says judgment is coming. And he ties their rejection to their judgment. And he compares these cities, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, to Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. Now, Tyre and Sidon, you might not be that familiar with. They were cities in the north in modern-day Lebanon. And they were Phoenician cities that for 1,000 years had been pagan worship centers to Baal. Those are the bad guys. And Sodom, even back then, was a synonym for wickedness. Tyre, Sidon, Sodom. I think we're better than those cities. And Jesus says it's going to be better for them than for you on the day of judgment, because what he does is he makes a link between opportunity and judgment. And he says Tyre and Sidon never had the miracles that you guys have had. They never had the message. Now they're lost in sin and judgment is coming. Sodom, lost in sin. If you know the story, sulfur rained down and destroyed that city. It was judged. But he says, Capernaum, you reject my son. You have the message of the cross. You have the message of forgiveness. You say, nah, I think we'll go a different way. And so there is a greater judgment. There is a greater punishment for those who have received a greater message, for those who have a clearer picture of reality. Let me help you with this. It would be as if the Lord went to Hollywood and said, on the day of judgment, it's going to be better for ISIS than for you. And they're like, what? What are you even talking about? And he would say, these guys in ISIS, man, they have been totally deceived by the devil. They have bought the devil's lie. And they are pursuing a life with a focus on what they think is heaven. And they're going to be judged. But you have mocked the message of my son. You have stomped him under your feet. You have wiped mud on him. You have laughed and spit upon him. And because you have a greater understanding than those fighters of ISIS, your judgment is more severe. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. He goes, it's going to be better for Sodom. What? Me, you sit here today and you've got your translation working right? Or your natural language is English? I'm sorry to tell you that reality is coming to you today. There ain't no way you're going to be able, I didn't understand. Message of Jesus comes into this place. He says, I might not be what you're looking for, but I am what I am. You can step in or you can turn away, but we'll be talking about it later. Amen. We're going to get to the third point now. It's a little lighter. Everybody said, thank you. Hallelujah. At that time, Jesus, he begins to pray. Our opportunity comes from heaven. Our opportunity comes from God. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, my Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Kingdom invitations, they come from heaven. And as we talk about the invitation and we begin to move into that, Jesus starts off with a prayer, and it's a prayer of praise. It says, Jesus is acknowledging the ways of his Father. And if you have come for our daily prayer or you have looked on Facebook, Tommy, 9 days out of 10, will open our time with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this is a very similar sentiment. It is a praise of his character and a praise of his plan. Lord of heaven and earth, sovereign over all, that our God gives us our invitation to join him in a plan of redemption. And Jesus says that God is a revealer and that God is a concealer. And he reveals the kingdom to children. And he conceals it from those who are wise and learned. Now, you've read the gospel, you realize that the Pharisees and, I mean, the Sadducees, the chief priests put a plot together to crucify Christ and lied on him. And God might pull back that invitation, but he's not talking about just the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law and elders and all that stuff. He's talking about Bethsaida. He's talking about Chorazin. And he's talking about these other cities that have turned their back on the invitation of Jesus. And you think, that's not fair. He's holding back this message to all these people that would turn and be saved. And you have to remember that these are not helpless, innocent people. That these are sinners. And these are the enemies of God who have walked away from the message. But God opens the door to those who hunger and thirst for a change. Maybe that's you today. We're to the good part now. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I'll tell you, if you got a paper Bible, circle this, highlight this. He says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And right here, Jesus makes an invitation. He makes an invitation for those who are tired and those who are ready for change. He talks about being weary. And it is being weary from the struggles and the trials of life. Maybe you can relate. Talks about being burdened with a heavy load. Maybe you can relate to that. He says, if you will turn from all of that, if you will turn to me, I'll give you rest. And so I'm wondering, are you tired today? Are you looking today? Because he offers you a yoke. I probably should have put a picture up here of a yoke. But a yoke is a piece of gear that you can harness two oxen together. And they go over their shoulders and you tie them together. And you tie them together and the two oxen together can do more work than each of them added up. It's like they can do 2.5, 3, 4 times as much work rather than just the two of them individually. But the Lord is not interested in your work. He says, my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. And what he's saying is you're burning yourself out. You're burning yourself up. And if you would link up to me, if you would step into this invitation, I will guide you down a new path. It's a good path. And on that path, you're going to find rest for your soul. So how's your soul? How tired are you this morning? See, Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven near and invites us to step in. He says, I'm gentle and I'm humble and I'll teach you my ways. So I'm wondering this morning if this might be what you're looking for. It's Mother's Day. It is a day of recognition. It's a day of rest. Ed, you can come up and play. As women, our moms work so hard. Juan's gone. He's grilling. I know his mom works hard. I know so many of you ladies work so hard. And you're tired. And I've prayed with some of you moms, and I know some of your hearts have been broken, and your souls are burdened. And maybe a day of rest is something that you just would celebrate. Hallelujah. I hope you have something incredibly special planned. I hope that fishing trip comes through. Because some of you are going, oh, I need an afternoon off. If you don't, we have something planned for you. But tomorrow's going to be another day. The ladies are all be talking about, what are we going to do for Father's Day? Jesus is different. He says, yoke up with me. I'll give you rest from your life. I'll give you a new life. You give me your life, I'll give you my life. I'll give you rest for your soul. Maybe you're here today and you're tired, because it's not just moms that are tired. Grandma's here going, yeah, grandma's guitar. Yeah. But you might not have any kids and you're tired. You might be a man and you're tired. You might be a man and you have heard that invitation from Jesus before and you've said, that's not exactly what I'm looking for. I think I'm going to try and find something better. And in my life I found it never panned out. That the reality I was waiting for never came. The reality I was trying to make, I could never make. And then I just got more burnt out and more burnt up until I was walking down the street in Sacramento one day. And I said, God, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And he came in and I just felt the Holy Spirit come in and give me a brand new life. And I experienced rest for my soul. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just thinking, I so want rest. My soul is in such turmoil. You say, Lord, if that invitation is open, I so want to step in. Bow your heads with me, would you? Jesus is right now tapping you on the